Well, that gospel might be the first record of a Middle Eastern oil crisis, mightn't it? In fact, the tradition with Middle Eastern weddings at that time was nothing like we have in our own culture these days. The bridegroom would have built a house very near to his father's house, and he would have then gone and collected the bride from the bride's parents, paid the dowry, and then brought her back for the celebration. Now, the presumption is, because it says he was delayed, the presumption is that exchange took more time than was perhaps bargained for. She might have been a difficult bride. I don't know. It's only a story, by the way. It's not fact. But the way that weddings worked in the Middle East at that time, there was a real engagement, a real conversation had to be had. But what we do know is that they turned up at midnight to have a wedding feast. Five of them had some oil, five of them didn't. Where are you going to get oil at midnight? So we could easily get sidetracked by those sort of intricacies in the story, but that's actually not the point of the story. The point partly that Matthew wrote is to heighten his people, the Matthean community, the early Christians there, just to heighten their awareness that they actually don't know when Jesus will return. Even St. Paul thought that it would be fairly imminent, but by the stage of writing as St. Matthew's Gospel, it was obvious that it wasn't going to be overnight. It could have been, but it was obvious that it just wasn't happening that way. So he uses these stories that Jesus told at some time about being prepared. But that's not the emphasis in the readings at this time. The emphasis is actually, because of the first reading, it is about understanding the difference between wisdom, being wise, and foolishness, being foolish. And wisdom and foolishness can certainly be connected into being prepared. I think wisdom, the beauty of wisdom, especially understanding biblical wisdom, is that it allows us the freedom to live in the here and now. Wisdom allows us to see things as they are, to understand myself in this place at this time now. And it allows me, wisdom does, to set goals based on, I would hope, good values, the things that we've learned and gleaned from the gospel and the example of Jesus himself. So it's not about the future so much. It's about being prepared and being wise in the here and now. Foolishness, on the other hand, I think, damages our goal setting. Foolishness, it gets in there and it makes us spend time and energy on hanging on to things of the past, usually troubles, usually things that have given us grief. Foolishness stops us from being in the here and now because foolishness says, I'm not letting this go. Foolishness also perpetuates this myth that if I remove myself from the here and now and look to the future, I can dream my way out of whatever's going on at present. That's not going to happen. That is actually foolish. And so people who rely on things like, they're rather comical, a lot of them, things like fortune tellers and looking into the future with tarot cards and the interpretation of the signs of the stars and all of that, that may bring a temporary comfort, but it seems to me that a lot of time and a lot of energy and sometimes a lot of money goes into projecting myself and my wishes into the future. That's foolish, because what it does is it stops me from seeing and appreciating and understanding the here and now. That is a missed opportunity because it's covered up, it's glamoured up with something that isn't actually real. And I say the same thing for those people who choose to dwell so much on the past, especially on the events of the past, that we can do nothing about. A person who lives wisely learns from the past and makes sure that their here and now is good and valuable and productive and life-giving, not life-taking or miserable or sad. The difference between wisdom and foolishness could be played out, for example, with the Royal Commission into Institutional Child Abuse. It could be, depending how you look at it. If we choose to dwell on the crimes of the past, we will stay in the past. We do not belittle or water down the crimes of the past from any institution, but we learn from that and we apply that knowledge and all its pain in the here and now. And hopefully, institutions will set goals based on values that represent the things that are so important to us as Christians. And even if you're not a Christian, they would be set values that are for the good of all people in society, especially the most vulnerable. So wisdom takes from the past and it can help set a dream in motion. It will only help the dream come to reality if it is a productive thing in the person now. If it just stays something that's wishy-washy, that would be a nice to have, who knows where that will go? Because foolishness will get in there and it will plant all the doubts again, and I have no idea where such plans end up. But history tells us that it's a disaster. So wisdom, it's not a case of wisdom versus foolishness. Wisdom tells us to be aware of how easy it is to be foolish. St. Augustine had that beautiful, beautiful saying that said, "We are fooled by the wisdom of the devil, and we're saved by the foolishness of God." So the devil dresses up things that appear to us to be grand and ideal. God has actually paid a price for our soul, which we can't really comprehend and appears to very many people as something foolish. So we are fooled by the wisdom of the devil, and we're saved by the foolishness of God. If we could be aware of how much time and energy we spend on being foolish, if we could get our finger on that pulse, then truly I would say to you, you are becoming a wise person. I'm becoming a wise person. But it takes awareness, and awareness is not found in dreams. Awareness is found in the reality of here and now, even in the good, the bad, and the ugly sometimes.